Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman. Suck it, Android.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Tiny Shutter Podcast. It is June 18th, 2012, and Keith Tharp is unable to join us because he is on assignment, even though his Find My Friends app says he is in the movie theater watching The Avengers. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good. Recovering today from my hike in the White Mountains yesterday.
Oh, very cool. Where'd you go? I mean, apart from the White Mountains.
I hiked up Mount Moosalock.
That is probably the coolest sounding mountain ever. It's like an evil transforming moose.
It's an awesome hike. It's not too long, but it gets you above tree line. You end up at 4,800 feet and really awesome views. Yesterday it was clear as can be, so it was a good day for sure. But I'm just a little bit sore today.
I hear you. You take any good photos?
I was up there, you know, pretty much in the middle of the day. So I took my other tiny shutter up there, which is my new Sony NEX-7.
Nice.
Took a few photos with that, and slowly but surely I'm throwing some Instagrams up, so check that out.
Very cool. Can't wait to see them. So let's start with the iPhone photography news, and the first one is a really cool project that's happening on Kickstarter. The project is called The Kick, a pocket-sized lighting studio for photo and video. And what this device is, it's basically probably an iPhone-sized LED light source, but it could do so much more than just providing continuous light for photography. Matt, have you checked this out yet?
I have, and actually, I don't do a whole lot of photography where I need this sort of lighting thing, but I guarantee that if I had one, I would make it so that I had to do more photography with lighting.
You know, when I first looked at this, I was the same way. I was like, this thing, what am I going to do with this that I can't do with a LED light or some cheapo thing that I could buy off the shelf? But looking at this video, and we'll have it provided in the show notes, it does so much more, and this device looks really, really cool. Again, the obvious thing is it provides a very strong continuous light source for helping you take better photography. And this device syncs with your iPhone. It'll react with your camera app, or I guess the native camera app, I believe it is. But you can change the light frequency. You can make it into any color that you want. But better yet, if you're doing video, say something along the lines of a miniature, or you get a whole bunch of these things to talk together, you could make some great effects. For example, they were doing some campfire simulations where the LED light would start blinking in different colors, and it was simulating kind of that reflective glow that a campfire would emit.
Yeah, from what I understand, you can hold this kick light near another light source that you want it to mimic, and it'll mimic it. And that's how they did the campfire thing. And I have to tell you, it looked pretty realistic.
It was awesome. Yeah, what they had was, I think on their iPhone, they had a video of a...
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, they had a video of a campfire, and it was able to... You were able to select anywhere within the campfire to use as the light source, and it totally mimicked it. And they were using it against some Legos, and it looked really cool. And they had a whole lot of... they had lightning effects as well. And it was really, really cool. I really got a kick out of that. And that right there sold me on buying this thing. So I think this is the first thing that I'm going to actually pledge money to. My first Kickstarter project that I'm going to help fund.
Yeah, I'm giving very strong consideration to doing that because this thing looks like it's pretty cool. And, this would be something that would be pretty awesome with some of the macro lenses that we've talked about on this podcast, like Keith's macro band and the Olo clip that we mentioned last week.
Yeah, which I can't wait to review. We were going to do that this week, but since Keith wasn't able to make it, We're going to hold that off until next weekend. That's going to be some fun stuff with the HoloClip. But so far, this project has 521 backers. It has a goal of $115,000. And right now, it has made $84,000 plus as of the recording of this show. And it has 29 days to go. So I am really hoping that this thing gets funded. And that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I think they'll make it. How long do they get to raise the money?
I believe it's... Well, I think you set the time. But again, in this particular case, there's 29 days left.
I'm just wondering how many days it took them to raise the $84,000.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious too. But, I mean, we'll see. It looks like this thing is going to have a street value of probably like between $80, $90. This thing is going to have a Wi-Fi version and no Wi-Fi version, which I don't know how that's going to happen. But, I mean, crap, I'll buy either because this thing looks amazing.
Yeah. Now, do you understand what the Wi-Fi is for on this thing?
I don't. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of stopped watching after I saw the campfire thing. I'm like, psh, sold. And I mean, the beauty about this thing is that it's not only for iPhone photography. You can use this for your regular photography as well. I'm just really looking forward to this thing coming into the market.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty cool. I think, you know, a lot of different kinds of photographers will benefit. I already mentioned, you know, macro photography, but even for portraiture, you could pretty much mimic any color temperature. So even, you know, window light, like indirect window light, you could mimic that color.
Yes.
And since this thing is nice and small, you can pretty much put it anywhere and direct the light in any way that you want.
And on their Kickstarter page, that's exactly what they're doing. They're taking their iPhone and doing a portrait, and they're showing the difference between no light and with the light. So, interesting stuff. Moving on, we have interesting developments coming from Apple's camp, and Gizmodo reported that the future of iPhone photography could have interchangeable lenses. There's a patent filed by Apple with something that has different lenses that can be stored within the iPhone itself. There's a compartment that you can flip open and be able to switch out the lenses. What do you think about this?
As long as it wasn't an ugly mess, it's something that I would be pretty interested in. You know, I haven't tried any of the macro or fisheye lenses for the cameras, or for the iPhone, I'm sorry, and the telephoto lenses that are out there. I know you have one, but just not very impressed with them.
You know what? Over the course of using the telephoto, I'm actually liking it less and less.
I would like it more if it was sharper across more of the image.
Yes. Yeah, that's where it kind of falls apart for me. And also that it's very hard to focus it. I mean, when you're using the focusing ring, it's just a kind of a pain in the ass.
Now, I'm just curious, what kind of lenses can they put on a ring or something on this camera? Like, I don't think you could do telephoto.
I don't think so.
So I'm wondering if they're going to be like weirdo effect kind of things. Mm. Like you're looking through a kaleidoscope with one lens and, you know, like real funky diffracted kind of things.
Yeah. I don't know. Personally, I think this has less to do with Apple wanting to develop something and more of Apple playing a defensive game against other people. I believe they're creating this patent so that no one else develops this patent. Do you know what I mean? They want to patent something so that no one else will be able to do it.
So basically, they're making sure that we're all limited to individual lenses that we constantly have to take on and off the phone.
They basically don't want to make something attractive for another camera phone, basically. So, for example, if Android wanted to make interchangeable lenses for their smart devices, and I use that term loosely, No, just me? Okay. They won't.
I was laughing.
I'm kidding.
Just quietly.
I know. It prohibits everybody else from creating that on their phones. And I think this is just a defensive move that Apple is playing. And everybody plays this kind of patent troll fight. I mean, it's a crazy place when it comes to patent laws. And I'm just taking a wild guess. I know nothing about patent laws. I'm just kind of taking a guess that this is why they're making something. It doesn't necessarily that they're actually going to put this in production. It's just they want to have the rights to it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, we could definitely be sure it's not something we're going to see on the next iPhone.
Yeah. Oh, definitely not for the next iPhone. But it would really be cool if we had a really good, really, really good lens for the iPhone, because that's something that I'm pretty much ready for, but I don't know how they would even implement that. But heck, it's not my job. I'm just going to buy it.
Yep. I like being a consumer most of the time.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. In Down Under news, we have two Australian people who created something pretty extraordinary. And everybody remembers the Occupy movement that happened all around the world, fighting the power, fighting the 1%. These guys, what they did is created a website and a service called SwitchCam. And their site focuses on taking a whole lot of videos and tying them together for one video, basically. And that's just a very simplistic version. But let's take for example, the Occupy movement. The most famous one is that police officer just going down the line, pepper spraying a group of people. It was very, very harsh and very crazy, but it was captured on so many people's cell phone devices and iPads and anything in particular. That video made the rounds in seconds. And what they're able to do is take all those videos and stitch them together in order where you can watch one. You can watch the event unfold in its appropriate time slot and in proper order. Which I think is pretty incredible, because you can then take, in this particular case, they're using concerts as an example. They want to make that pretty popular, where if you're watching a concert, people are videoing, even though they're not supposed to, I guess, making videos of their favorite moments. And what they'll do is stitch all those favorite moments together into one cohesive video package, which I think is kind of cool.
So basically, like, keep it with the concert example. It's like you're listening to, you know, whatever song, and then you're seeing that performance from multiple camera angles.
Yes.
It's a bunch of different people's video from their iPhones or whatever stitched together.
Right. But you take that is really cool. But then you take something like the London riots, where you have so much happening at the same time, and you can take those video footage that people take individually of just these segmented moments, and then you could put them together into one video so that you can pretty much make a legitimate timeline. And I don't know how they would do this. I mean, I would imagine that every video taken is kind of like a photo where there's a time signature stamped on it. And if everybody is using the same phones, with iPhones, but maybe it translates to other phones, that maybe it's using the timestamps to make the stitching.
So where would you go to see these videos? Does it? Did you read that?
I actually didn't, but you can go to their website, switchcam.com, to get more information. But.
And then I'm wondering what I'm supposing, if you're uploading anyway to like YouTube or something, maybe you're giving this SwitchCam company the right to use your footage?
Possibly. I don't know, because when it comes to, like, for example, concerts gets really tricky, because you have people like, for example, Lady Gaga, who says that anybody who takes a photo of her, she owns the rights to. She just says it.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's more specifically at her concerts, which
I guess I'll cross her off my list of photograph.
You know, right? That's okay. I can take photos of meat at a butcher shop and not on her. But it gets kind of sketchy. I don't know who would use this service, and I unfortunately haven't dug any deeper into their website to see what's going on. But they're getting a whole lot of support for this. They left pretty lucrative jobs, too. I guess one of the guys left a job that pays $150K a year to make this startup, and kudos to him.
Well, that'll be worth it when Facebook buys them.
Yeah, I know, right? Who do you think is going to buy these guys, actually? I think Facebook is the biggest contender. Who else do you think is on the line? I would imagine that something like the New York Times would want something like this.
Yeah, news outlet, maybe CNN or something like that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Well, I do think they're going to get bought out.
It's a very cool concept. I'm not real sure about the copyrights or rights that are being violated with this, but the concept is pretty awesome.
If people are already posting it on YouTube, wouldn't that make – I don't know enough about copyright law, so you're right. This is interesting stuff. I'll be curious to see where they get to, but well done. And finally, in kind of the tangent news, we have Apple in iOS 6 giving a gentle push, the podcast, a gentle push out of iTunes. What do you think of that?
Well, from the reading that I've done, it sounds like podcasts are going to get their own app.
Yeah.
Kind of like Apple has the bookstore and stuff like that. So I don't know. That almost sounds like a win for podcasts, kind of.
It kind of does. But then again, just like the iBook store, people need to download it. Like iBooks doesn't come natively on any iOS device. That's something that you have to look for yourself.
So now what you're saying is podcasts are going to be harder to find.
Potentially. Possibly. Like it's not going anywhere out of the iTunes on the PC and Mac. The desktop client will still contain it, but things like the iOS device on the iPhone and iPad, there's no more podcasts. And I believe there's no more iTunes University and no more audiobooks either. They're all going to get their dedicated apps.
Oh, wow. Well, Kristen in the focus group says it's about time this is happening. And I think she wants us to be harder to find because she wants us all for herself.
It's possible. But I do see what you're saying. It could be a potential for podcasts getting even more recognition, because I think this is something that Apple wanted more from. I think they thought podcasts would become much more popular, and right now they're still kind of the fringe thing on audio and visual airwaves.
Well, I tend to think that whatever I'm doing is probably a somewhat popular thing. I know like a couple years ago, I really hardly ever listened to podcasts. I didn't really get it or understand the format.
Yeah.
And now I listen to like a billion of them.
Yeah. Same here. Yeah. How about we go into our feature for this week?
Let's do it.
Cool. So this week I wanted to talk about something that I've been having a lot of fun with. It's kind of a tutorial. But anybody who's following me on Instagram, my username is Lenswipe, you'll notice that I've been doing a lot of paintings lately. And this is something that I've been doing for a while now. As a photographer, I sometimes like to kind of spice up my photography. And I also do a lot of graphic design work. So I use a lot of Photoshop. And also in this particular case, I use it. Program called Corel Painter. Last week, I mentioned Corel Painter as focus point of the week, where you got to make some really cool paintings. But this week, I wanted to focus on a good way to make your own painting if you wanted to do it. And there are several apps on the App Store that you can pick. And obviously, Corel Painter is one of them. But there's another series of apps called Auto Painter. And there are three versions of them. And each one has focuses on different styles of painting. What I like to do is I like to take my photos and I like to prep them. Because not every photo is going to make a good painting. But the cool thing is, if you have something like Snapseed, you can start doing some good prep work. And this is what I'd like to do. A lot of photographers say they want to save their pixels. They always want an application or software that's not going to hurt the pixel quality. In this particular case, destroy away, because it's going to be a lot of fun. And what I do before I prep a photo for painting, and all of this you can do on your iOS device, whether it's the iPhone or the iPad. I personally use Snapseed, but you can use anything else. But what you want to do is take your photo that you feel will make a good painting and just destroy the crap out of it. And by that, I mean, go into your app, give it some pretty good contrast, but go into the saturation and crank that thing all the way up, or as far as you can tolerate. Because what you want to do to make a good painting is to have a lot of good contrast, a lot of different colors. And by using, you know, these tools, you'll be able to do it. And Snapseed is probably the best one, because all you have to do is just find your drama tag and just crank that thing all the way up and you're pretty much done. And then you can export that photo, import it into a new program like Auto Painter. Auto Painter is the one that I've been having a lot of fun with, because it gives a lot of variation to your paintings. You could do it in many styles, like Monet but Van Gogh, yeah, and all those.
Yeah, that looks like a cool feature to this app that you're talking about, is you can mimic different, you know, famous painters. Cezanne is another one.
Yeah.
I think to be able to mimic Van Gogh that's pretty cool.
It's a lot of fun. And once you finish with your destructive editing, you can import it and the app will take care of the rest. Once it finishes, you save it and say you're going to publish it to something like Instagram. What I like to do is I like to take the whole image, and then I like to do one more little tweak, and that's kind of enlarging the photo. So say you have this landscape that you painted with like a lot of trees, a lot of like a river running through it, and you do the painting app. When I do the feature in Instagram, what I like to do is enlarge the photo so that only the tree is visible, and kind of arrange the layout so that everything is focusing on the tree. It kind of gives it I don't want to say distortion, because it's not affecting the photo negatively, but what it's doing is kind of stretching the photo and giving it another painterly style to it, even though what you're doing is just kind of warping pixels at this point. And then save, and there you go. You're featured.
Do you find that you're are you shooting with the fact
painting
that
in
you're
mind?
Gonna turn it? Yeah. Thank you.
That's okay. Lately, I have been. I've been going into the park and taking photos where I will turn the whole thing into a painting. But I also take photos with segmentation in mind too, where I will take a whole picture, but I really want to focus on, for example, the bridge in the photo, where my intention is to enlarge it later on so that I focus on just that aspect. And it gives it enough of a blur that it makes the painting seem more real. It looks more like a real painting. And some of the photos that I posted in Instagram, and I'll provide in the show notes, is the Boston Common Bridge in the public gardens. And I think that's the one that came out to look like a painting the most. And it's probably one of my favorites, where I used the Olo clip and used a fisheye attachment and kind of gave the bridge a kind of an interesting distortion. But then I zoom in on the bridge and it just made the thing come alive. And I totally love it. That's probably my best one.
Yeah, that's a great shot. And then there's another one that you might have taken it at a wedding. It's got some white flowers. It's a somewhat close up shot.
Yes. Oh, that's the other thing that I'm doing. While I was at the wedding that I photographed over the weekend, I imported that was taken with my 5D Mark II. I imported that into my iPad, and from there, I went into Snapseed and kind of did the whole thing. I bumped up the saturation like 100%. I played with the contrast and bumped that up. And then I went into the painter app and did the painter thing. And when I brought that, I didn't bring that into Instagram. What I did was I brought that into the cards app and I made a thank you card for the bride and groom saying, congratulations. Here's a little token to remember your day by, you know. So when they get back from their honeymoon, they have this nice thank you card with this nice digital painting of them kissing. So I thought that was really cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to their reaction. And the beauty of the cards app by Apple is that it'll tell me when they get it. So.
Yeah, these paintings are pretty cool. And it kind of looks to me like maybe the simpler the subject, the better the painting's going to turn out.
It depends on what style you use. I mean, with the Corel Painter app, you can get away with kind of like doing a little bit manipulation yourself. But with the Auto Painter, it really depends on what style you choose to use. Like, for example, some of them work really, really well with the Monet painting filter, but others look like crap with the Van Gogh filter. So you really have to pick and choose what will fit with what style.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I guess that's not really much different than any of the other apps that we talk about with all the different filters.
Pretty much. And when you get really good at it, or if you enjoy it enough, then you can upgrade to the professional level and buy Corel Painter and start doing them freehand. What I like to do when I have the time to do it is actually take my photo, import it into Corel Painter, and then you can do the brush strokes yourself. You can choose what kind of paint you're going to use, and what you're doing essentially is you're taking you're cloning your photo, and as you're painting, it's using the image underneath it, but you're actually creating the brush strokes. So it's a really cool mimic of painting without needing to know how to paint, which I wish I knew how to paint, but I don't. I'm a real idiot when it comes to it.
Yeah, that's why I take pictures. Drawing and painting are not my strong suits.
Yeah, but you could do so much with Corel. And I mean, I personally use Corel. You can use Photoshop. I understand that CS5 and CS6 had a lot of upgrades to painting, but my personal favorite is Corel. Always Corel. Steve-O from the Focus Group makes an interesting point. Are the apps free? And no, the Auto Painter apps are 99 cents for the iPhones, and there's three of them. So you'll pay a little bit for that. The Corel Painter is free. That one you could pick up and just start playing with. But I prefer the Auto Painter. The quality of the paintings are just that much better. And I believe the one for the iPad, they have a Auto Painter HD, and that's a little bit more, but I don't recall the price.
Awesome.
Cool. So why don't we start winding things down, and do we have any focus points for this week?
We do.
Cool. Why don't you go first?
I do. All right. So I thought maybe we'll stay with the lighting theme,
mm-hmm.
Playing off one of the news points where we talked about the Kik light. I found this app a few days ago, and it's called Softbox Pro for iPhone. And what this app does, it basically turns your iPhone into a light source, kind of like the Kick Light.
Mm-hmm.
The difference there is that your iPhone then becomes a light source, so you can't take any photos with your phone, but you can use the phone as a continuous light source. And you're able to pick pretty much any color under the rainbow. You could change the brightness of the color, and then you could also shape the light as well. So you can, instead of having the full screen be one solid light source, you could add a grid. You could make the light narrower, or add different shapes to it, like a star or a triangle or an oval shape or whatever, so that if you wanted a particular shape catch light in somebody's eye or reflected on some sort of reflected surface in your photo, you could have that sort of effect with this app as well.
For what kind of photography is this useful for? Like, have you tried this yet?
I haven't had a chance to really play with it, but I think portraiture, it would be somewhat useful. You know, if you're in a pinch for a light, product photography, I think this thing could be really useful. And macro work, it would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'd be interesting to see some results, because that is interesting.
Yeah, right now this is a free app in the App Store. So I thought for free, it sounds like something that could potentially come in handy.
Nice. I'll give it a try. I'll pick it up. I'm really curious and give it a go, because I'm doing some macro photography lately too. So I can throw the app on my wife's iPhone.
Yeah, if I have the chance to play with the Olloclip, then you know, I'll probably use this app on my phone and grab my wife's 4S and take some pictures with her phone.
Yeah, I'm going to send that to you pretty soon. The Olloclip is really cool. I can't wait till we all have a chance with that thing, because that thing is so sweet.
Awesome.
Spoiler. So anyway, why don't we wind things down, and why don't you tell the world where they can find you on the web?
Well, I would say just check me out on Instagram, mhoffmanphoto.
Awesome. Keith Tharp, even though he's not here, he can be found on Instagram, is Keith_Tharp. And you can also find him on keiththarp.com. And you can find me on Instagram as well. I am username LensWipe. And you can also find me on casualphotography.net. So that's all for this week. Next week, Keith will be returning, and he could probably tell us about the Avengers. I mean, about the work he was doing. He's gonna kill me for that one. He really is doing work. He's not seeing the Avengers.
Oh, I wanted a full review.
Anyway, until next time, take care, everybody.
Bye bye.
Keith, where are you?
We miss you.
I don't think we can do this. And in bright light news, we have. Oh man, how does he do that? He has like a cool news thing for every bit of news. I don't think I could do that.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.